Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu Rob. Welcome to Activate Yourself. You know, I always try and bring you inspiring ideas and people and things so that you can see that there is a way out of anything bad that could be happening to make you feel good. Today is something that inspired me. It made me feel good. Meeting this person made me feel great. And I want to tell you about it. And then I'm going to introduce you to him. Okay, now what would you do, everybody, if you were having a conversation with this cute guy and he said, would you like some coffee? And you say, freaking hate coffee. Why would you give me coffee? And then he turns out to be the bloody Mr. Bulletproof, Dave Asprey, coffee man himself. How do you recover from something like that? You ask him to come on your show and then allow him to troll you all the way through your show. I have a feeling that's where this is going to go. I would like to welcome this amazing man. Dave, you're just, I can't believe I didn't know who you were, because your CV is terrifying. And you have literally, because you have achieved so much. You've done so much. And what I like about it is that there isn't anything too weird and wonderful for you to try. And I love that, because I'm 100% of that opinion myself. So thank you very much for coming on.
You're welcome, Gita. It's my pleasure.
The thing I wanted to talk about, which was I wanted to start with, that I've been vegan for ages. And I became vegetarian about a hop, skip, and a jump before I met you, which I somehow feel was like a safe thing to do before I met you. You don't believe in being vegan.
Well,
or vegetarian.
I do believe in malnourishment. That's a real thing. So, I mean, it exists. Unfortunately, it's particularly harsh on women. My first book of 8 books now, about 14 years ago, was called The Better Baby Book. It was a book on fertility. Mm-hmm. And women's health, because my wife at the time was infertile when I met her, and we needed to restore her fertility. We threw away the oatmeal, we threw away the flax seeds, we threw away the soy milk, and we replaced it with real food. And even though she was a physician trained in Stockholm at the Karolinska Institute, we were able to restore her fertility and have 2 beautiful kids at age 39 and 42 with no medical interventions whatsoever. That's the power of animal-based foods that have been the foundation of human nutrition whenever we could afford it. We have a group of large food companies manipulating policy and advertising, convincing women that peasant starvation food, the stuff you eat when you cannot find better food, the stuff that will keep you alive in a dark winter, that's actually going to make you thin and it's going to make you healthy. Doesn't work.
There are many things I hate about that anyway, because this whole shit about women having to be thin annoys me so much. And as somebody who's worked in the detox industry for 15 years, I honestly want people to go shag themselves. The most beautiful, insane women come in the door and they're like, I want to lose weight. And I'm like, we're going to have to cut your hair, because I cannot see where else.
That's a great line.
You know what I mean? I'm like, where would you? They're so beautiful. And we're gaslit. Okay, I want to come back and fight about the animal thing in a second, but we're gaslit into this process of thinking we're not beautiful without fulfilling some dreadful stereotype. And I see this more in America, actually, than I do across Britain, Europe, and Asia, and definitely India and Africa, where we're allowed to have big asses and boobs and curves, because it's kind of how we're born, right?
Curves are nice. Let me also just put this out there. I used to weigh 50% more than I weigh now, at 300 pounds. I don't know what that is in stones, but it was a lot. And so I've been obese for a meaningful portion of my life. And I felt the cravings. I went to the gym for 702 hours over 18 months, literally 90 minutes a day, 6 days a week. And at the end of that, when I'm eating those vegetarian foods, or even worse, vegan foods, I was eating a low-fat, low-calorie diet, I still weighed 300 pounds. what that combination of more exercise and these plant-based foods that are just low in nutrients, despite what they say, what you get is this feeling of anxiety, of angst, of doom. And it is Mother Nature telling your body that there is a famine because you are never fully nourished. And then even worse, there's something hunting you because you go to the damn spin class every single day. Yeah. And you create this small, miserable world for yourself. And all you needed to do was just eat a steak.
Okay, we're going to come. No, we're gonna have to stop on that one there.
Put a pin. I knew that would get you.
Totally put a pin in that. The thing is that, yes, I disagree completely with low calorie anything. And I have had massive fights about this. I do that a lot over this side because I'm on there like TV show after TV show of people attacking me because I'm saying low calorie, low fat is bad for you. And then making you work out without that. But how do you explain like the 90% of India, not my part of India, because in Punjab, people apparently just eat cows and meat and things. So they're with you on that one.
You might want to listen to your ancestors, just saying.
100%. How do you explain the rest of India? Vegetarian.
So how's that diabetes rate in India?
Yeah, but that's not from a lack of meat. That's
that is an educated answer. You're correct.
Being Indian. They eat fried food. So don't try that shit on me. What they eat fried food and they eat a lot of ghee.
They don't. That's not it. What they eat a lot of corn oil and vegetable oil, and they used to eat a lot of ghee. When they ate a lot of ghee, they were not fat and diabetic. It was the introduction of American seed oils into India that was done by big food conglomerates that caused the wave of diabetes. It was not a historical trend. So it turns out you can go on a vegetarian diet that includes lots of protein from eggs and from milk, and you can do it.
True. There's a lot of milk in that. In that
yeah, diet. That's where the protein comes from. And most importantly, we have been told the worst lie ever. We've been told that saturated fat makes you fat. Saturated fat accelerates your metabolism and makes you full, gives you beautiful skin and gives you a better brain and gives you better reproductive function. When you take away saturated fats and you eat these vegetable oils, canola oil, corn oil, soybean oil, all of those things, those slow your metabolic function. That is what bears eat to get fat to hibernate.
So there isn't a difference between what you're saying amongst processed food versus the fact that you should be eating meat. Because I hear you clearly saying don't eat processed food. And I'm a huge fan of that. I think proper real food that recognizes food is a thing.
It turns out if it's plant-based, it has to be processed. What happens if you eat unprocessed beans?
You cook beans. Don't you cook steak?
Well, isn't cooking processing?
Oh,
it is.
Raw meat.
Actually, I did for a while.
Oh, babe, I'm not going to dinner with you. Seriously? No.
I was a raw vegan. And when I was like, this vegan diet is killing me, I got to eat something. So then I ate some raw meat. It's called sushi, in case you're wondering.
Oh, we can't. No. That's sophistry. We can't go down the process thing and cooking beans.
But no, it's actually a very important point. The reason we've developed all these different cooking techniques is to remove toxins from plants so that we can use them for energy, even though the plants are still fighting against us. So like, if you go to India, and you'll find people know exactly how to cook rice. They know exactly how to cook beans and lentils so that they are most absorbable. Mm-hmm. When you're getting the highly processed versions of those, like a rice cake, mm-hmm. that is not processed to remove some of the things that are making women, and especially women, weak. If you were to cook rice in a traditional way, you're going to remove a substantial amount of something called phytic acid. Mm-hmm. But if you eat a rice cake or Rice Krispies or cornflakes and things like that, these are processed foods, they contain high levels of this relatively unknown toxin. And what that does is it sucks calcium and zinc out of your body so that you get osteoporosis. So processed foods suck minerals and animal foods replace minerals in the body. That's why liver is actually one of the best foods for you. And that's why eggs from fish, like salmon eggs, are one of the other best foods for you, because those are the things that are highest in minerals, in addition to fat-soluble saturated fats that your body desperately needs. So you can have shiny hair, so you can have glowing skin, and you can have babies, because it turns out that's important.
I tell you what, I'm with you on this. The number of women that I see coming in, because my audience is around 35 to 40 years old, women that are just on the edge of perimenopause, coming into perimenopause, and it is utterly shocking that they cannot get pregnant. They cannot get pregnant. And also, wow. they over-exercise. Their IVF has become... David, really bothers me. IVF has just become a normal standard. I'm starting to joke that the only way to get pregnant is 18 in the back of a car, because you're just, you know, I don't know.
Cars are too small these days. It won't work.
Yeah, not the American ones, but yeah. No, but I sat my daughters down and I'm like, we need to be talking about this. You better be having babies by the end of your 20s. They're like, you're not meant to be saying this to us. I'm like, I'm trying to explain to you that I don't know if you'll be able to have them if you keep going much older than that.
Well, if you were to replace your minerals and have proper detox running throughout your body so that you can get rid of all the man-made chemicals, you can restore fertility, or you can make yourself way more resilient than average. But here's the interesting facts. If you have babies at 24 years old, it is protective against many of the diseases of aging, and you probably won't have terrible perimenopause. Now, I don't think that I would be ready at 24 to have kids emotionally and psychologically and spiritually, but that's what Mother Nature really wants you to do. Yeah. So there's some sort of a math there that they don't tell you when they're saying, be a good worker, freeze your eggs, you can always do it later. They don't tell you that that comes at a great cost to your health. So if you're in a situation where you want a family, having it earlier, but not too early, seems like a good idea. And protecting your health with things you can do before you have kids is really important. In fact, that book is called The Better Baby Book, still very accurate. You start 3 to 6 months before you get pregnant to set yourself up for max fertility, the healthiest egg, the healthiest sperm, and the healthiest pregnancy. And we can do that, but instead, what's easier, all that, or should you just go to the doctor, inject a bunch of hormones that really mess up your emotions, may mess up your marriage because
IVF is so painfully expensive, brutal emotionally.
Yeah. All right. And do you want to go a little deeper on that, Gita?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Hold the thought. We're going to go to a commercial break and we'll come back and then we'll go deeper. So we're just going to take a quick break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we are back.
So we're talking about fertility. IVF is a wonderful way, if you cannot have kids, to have kids. So there's nothing wrong if that's the way that you can have a family. But could there be a downside they don't talk about? There is. There's this thing inside every cell called a mitochondria. And we've all talked about those before. Most people remember it from biology. They're the power plants. They're not. And I've written a major science book on these guys, so I know something about how they behave. And they are environmental sensors that then make electricity. They make proteins. They make sex hormones. They make melatonin. They do all kinds of cool stuff. Well, there's about 15,000 of them in your brain or my brain or in our hearts, because those are really high energy cells. Except in women, there's 100,000 mitochondria in your ovarian tissue per cell. This is the densest environmental sensors and energy producers of any of men or women.
And we still have sex with idiots.
You know, maybe they're making you do it, actually. There's a pretty good argument for that. Thanks, mitochondria. I appreciate it. So what they're doing, though, is they're looking around at the environment around you. This is all invisible to you. It's part of the operating system of your body. And they're saying, which of my couple billion eggs, which one is going to thrive? What's the environment like? How much food is there? Is this a time of scarcity or a time of veganism? Because then you're going to have a signal of scarcity. Is this a place where it's so safe and there's so much energy and so much beautiful, nourishing butter and all these other things that I'm going to select an egg for thriving or an egg for surviving? And they pick which egg comes out, and then the egg selects which sperm gets into it. And if you do IVF, which is a good way to get pregnant, if it's all that you can do, you bypass Mother Nature's selection of the egg, And now it's up to a doctor who may not know as much as 2 billion years of evolution.
Yeah.
So does it work? Yes. Does it create the most optimal results for the world you live in? The jury is out.
Why? How do we... I will put out videos that say that women should not eat less, that there are places where intermittent fasting just doesn't work for women, that calories in and calories out is crap, and literally get trolled uphill. And I know you have no problem with being trolled and you find it very entertaining, but there's just a place where, how can we get this conversation to shift though?
Well, there's two aspects to this. One is kindness and the other is nourishment. And it's one of the reasons I wrote Smarter, Not Harder, which is my new book that just came out, because I believe this thoroughly. I was so ravenously hungry when I was trying to lose weight. I would just lean in and say, oh, well, that feeling in my stomach of like hunger pangs, that's just me losing weight, right? And I would sort of fetishize it a little bit and I'd go to the gym. It didn't matter if I was sick. I'm going to do this. It was my biggest priority. And the fact that I never lost weight doing that and my pants didn't shrink, that really, it made me feel actually like a moral failing. Like maybe I'm eating too much lettuce. That was what I had going on. And because I'd already given up the chicken on the chicken salad, I already gave up the dressing because there's too many calories. I mean, it was a dark time, to be honest.
Yeah, because your whole world just shrinks.
Yeah. And you're always thinking about food and all that. So I wrote Smarter Not Harder kind of as my revenge on that, in a good kind of revenge, because I wrote Smarter Not Harder because I don't want people to go down that path that says, if I spend all this time, I will get results. It's a false promise. And today I work out 15 minutes a week and I'm 7.9. I'm serious. I'm 7.9% body fat. Now I'm wearing shorts because I'm cool, but look at this. This is my abs. I wasn't planning on showing off my abs. You can tell I didn't airbrush them, but like this is like how they look.
They look very nice.
So I'm like, let's see, my lab tests say I'm 39. This old thing called the calendar says I'm 50. I spend as much time brushing my teeth as I spend working out, and I'm never hungry.
What do you do?
It's because what I do is that you pick a specific goal.
Yeah.
The weight loss goal is different than putting on muscle. And then you use a technique or a technology that just works way better than the two things we've always done for exercise. One of them is we pick up rocks. And the biggest innovation in that is we concentrate them into iron plates and then we pick those up. So we lift heavy stuff. And then the other one is we run away from tigers. But we have innovations. You can run away in one place on a treadmill or on a bike, right? But that's exercise. If you apply AI and you apply literally hundreds of thousands of medical studies on this, it turns out there's a way to send a signal into your body to make your body change the way you want it to change. And you can make yourself younger. You can make yourself age at a rate slower than all your friends. You can make yourself have more dense bones, which I've done. Mm-hmm. You can make yourself have the amount of body fat you want as long as it's healthy. But those two types of exercise, picking up rocks and running away from tigers, the more of it you do, the more your body thinks you're being hunted, because there's an invisible system in your body. I call it the operating system of the body, or the meat operating system, because we are made out of meat. So this part of the body, it's not smart. It's old bacteria thinking. And it says, okay, this crazy person like riding around inside all this meat suit, clearly something's hunting it because it's going up a hill. And you're like, meanwhile, you're on a little exercise bike pedaling. And then, okay, a sane person at the top of the hill would stop and maybe like eat something or just rest. And instead it goes, no, they continue moving. And there's another hill and another. Yeah. And they keep pushing and they're sweating and hard and went for a whole hour. You just told yourself something was hunting you for an hour. And I'll tell you the actual numbers from two different studies at the University of Colorado. When you do an hour long cardio workout 5 days a week, okay, you're a very good person if you can sweat for an hour a day, 5 days a week, right? Like you pretty much should be sainted. Almost no one can do that. But let's say you did that. It is horrendous. after 2 months of this, so let's see, 5 hours a week times 2 months, that's 40 hours of sweating with someone yelling at you from the front of the spin class. You will improve by 2% your cardiovascular capacity.
What? If you,
yep, those are the numbers.
That's horrendous.
Oh, you would do that because you're a masochist or because someone's lied to you. Those are the only two reasons. Or you might be addicted to endorphins. That's the other reason.
Yeah.
But here's what happens if you do what I do there. There's an algorithm, it's an AI thing, but you can also do it sort of at home. It's called Rehit. This, in 5 minute exercises, three times a week, during those exercises, you never sweat and you barely work hard. I mean, it's almost boring. So 3 5-minute boring periods gives you 6 times more cardiovascular performance than spending an hour a day.
Okay, hang on. I know we have to buy your book to work this out. How did you work this out? Because I want to upgrade labs. Okay. Is that sure. Part of that?
Okay,
hang on. Let's just go for a quick break. And then
we'll
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So I love the grin on your face when I said, how did you work that out? Because there's this, Tell me how does Upgrade Labs work? Or is this part of Upgrade Labs? Or how did you work all this out?
Well, Upgrade Labs is the world's first biohacking facility. We call it a human upgrade facility. I opened it 8 years ago in Santa Monica underneath Arnold Schwarzenegger's office. And what I wanted to do was take all this tech that I had used as I was creating the word biohacking, the field of biohacking. Mm-hmm. I wanted to take the stuff that allowed me to transform myself, first to recover from toxic mold and fibromyalgia and all these other things I had going on, but then to take it and make it available for everyone. So I started doing that, and now we're franchising. So we're opening this across the US and Canada. And the tech in there was like, okay, I have 1 hour a week, or maybe 2 hours a week, whatever it is. How do I get the most results in the least possible time? Because I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a New York Times bestselling author of 300 million podcast downloads and a father of two teenagers and all kinds of other stuff that people don't know about that's also big. So I just don't want to waste time. And what I had believed when I was young was that hard work gets results. In fact, most people will nod their heads when I say that. It's total garbage. How many people do you know who work really hard and what they get is disappointment?
Yeah.
Well, that was me.
And a lot of women.
Very much. So I believe that we can find the things that work best and then work hard. And that's what's worked really well for me. And with Upgrade Labs, I just feel like most people, in the time that they waste on just cardio or just weights, they could go in and they can do the 5 big things that will get done for you. We can train your brain with neurofeedback. We can give you muscles if you want. We can make you lose weight and have more energy if that's your goal. We can train your nervous system to be more resilient to stress. And we can do something else cool. And I forget what the other 5th one is.
How did you work out that that's the exercise program that you should be following to get those results?
Well, I've interviewed more than 1,000 people on the Human Upgrade podcast, Nobel Prize winners, experts in physiology. I've read at least 10,000 papers and God knows how many other sources of information. So because I created biohacking, I get to look at all of the tech, and I have spent millions of dollars on all of the technology that purports to upgrade humans and to give us things. The stuff that Navy SEALs use, the stuff that astronauts use, the stuff that professional horse people use on their equestrians. A lot of that stuff works really well. Yeah, not on the jockeys, on the horse.
On
right?
The horse.
Yeah, because a lot of that stuff isn't going to be approved for years. So my first medical laser was 25 years ago. It was only approved for horses, but gee, it got rid of my whiplash. So in fact, a lot of my research around mold in coffee, I have a new coffee brand called Danger Coffee. And a lot of the research around mold, it comes from agricultural research. My new book, I read about phytic acid. Yeah, we know something about it in humans, but phytic acid, when we feed it to animals, it makes the animals so that they're less fertile and so that they get injured more often. So they control for it in animal food, but they don't control for it in human food.
No, exactly.
So it's stuff like that. You look around, and then I have just a unique brain because I was a computer hacker. I decided I was going to hack myself because my doctor couldn't do it for me. And when I went in, he said, maybe you should try to lose weight. And I'm like, you're fat too. And maybe you could tell me how to lose weight because I already went to the gym forever and I already starved myself forever and that shit doesn't work.
I have women who write in with 2-year food diaries. 2 years of 800 calories a day.
I have so much compassion for that.
I feel so bad for them.
Mm.
And their doctors are like, no, you're making it up. They're literally saying to them, you're
yes.
And they don't believe them. And these women are like, does somebody somewhere believe that we're not overeating? And I'm like, yeah, you're starving to bloody death is what you're actually doing.
I saw it in my doctor's eyes. It's, oh, you're eating candy bars every day and telling me you're eating less. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And then you think something's wrong with you because if you eat less calories, you don't lose weight. You have to be lying. So for all of the calorie trolls out there, and they love trying to come after me, what I normally do is if it's someone who's actually noteworthy, I use their Instagram handle as a discount code for my animal-based foods. So guys, bring it on, my friends, bring it on. You have nothing behind you. Here's two ways to destroy a calorie troll. You wanna hear them?
Yeah. Bring.
They tell you it's calories in, calories out, right? Okay.
It's such shit.
Here's the easy one. You know how many calories are in uranium?
No.
I actually posted on this a while ago. It's something like 70 million calories in a gram of uranium. So if you eat a gram of uranium, according to these clowns, you should magically bloat up and get fat. And they go, that doesn't count. You go, well, why not? Oh, do you mean how much energy you get from a food after you eat it? That's what you're measuring, not how many calories you ate? Did you just admit that? They did. But even worse, there's a drug used in, especially probably in the US, it's called Zearalenol. And it is derived from toxic mold. And it is a synthetic estrogen 1,000 times stronger than human estrogen. And they take a little waxy pellet of it and they put it in a cow's ear and it melts into the cow's circulatory system. When they do that, the cow gets fat on 30% less calories. If a drug exists that makes you fat on 30% less calories, every one of the people trolling you was simply bullied in high school and never got over it.
That's very true. And also
done.
Never got laid, probably, because I think.
Yeah, still true. Haven't, actually. Well, that's why they're trolling people online.
Exactly. They have time. there's just a place. What do we do about, because so much of what you're doing is changing this conversation, but
Oh, I know what to do. Okay, I'm just going to interrupt your question and be rude about it because you I got the picture. Okay. Here's the basis of the new book is that if you experience a short-term stressor, whether it's an emotional, whether it's exercise, something like that, there's two things that the body needs in order for you to adapt and improve in response to it. Number one, it needs to feel nourished, which means you must have minerals in your body and available. Minerals don't come from plants. Plant-based minerals are bound up, so you can't absorb them. So you must have minerals.
I'm busy rolling my eyes at you. This whole eat steak shit's just getting old, but yeah, okay.
You know, I didn't say you had to eat steak. I said you had to eat minerals. You can get minerals that are absorbable. I'm just telling you, plants don't give you minerals. You can take supplements for minerals if you want highly processed things like supplements, which I do use. I like supplements. So number one, your body has to feel nourished, which means enough calories, which means enough saturated fat, and it means enough minerals. And listen to me, women, enough carbohydrates.
Yes.
When women go on these low carb diets for long periods of time, it breaks your hormones. So is there enough energy? Is there enough minerals? And are there enough building blocks, including enough protein? Then magically, okay, nourishment is the first checkbox. The second checkbox though is safety. So if you send yourself a signal with exercise that you're being hunted and then you keep doing it, the body decides you're not safe. And if you do that,
your cortisol levels go.
Yeah, your cortisol levels go up. And if you do that, when it tries to repair itself, says, I don't have the building blocks to repair myself. Now I'm not safe and it's a famine. So most of what we're doing to ourselves, especially women, are sending a signal deep into your tissues that you're being hunted all the time and that there's not enough food. Is it any wonder that the body desperately holds on to any little shred of fat it can? Is it any wonder you can't sleep? Is it any wonder that you're not fertile? Why would your body allow you to reproduce if every day or three times a week something's hunting you relentlessly, and when you're done, you have frickin' kale? You shouldn't have children under that environment.
What I always say as well, you can't run if you're pregnant. When you're heavily pregnant, you can't run away. So your body's going to be like, well, we can't be pregnant right now.
That's exactly right.
You cannot run away from the, I call it the dinosaur chasing you. So I'm like, there's the dinosaur chasing. That's my version of it. There's a dinosaur chasing you. And what you're doing there is saying, if I get pregnant, I can't run. So you're never going to get pregnant. So, okay. So let me take you then to this, the next bit, which is this conversation we've had in very short ones about the nervous system. Because one of the things that I'm always looking at women and helping them to understand is that when you've been in this state for a very long time, right, your nervous system kind of packs itself up and moves over here, and it kind of moves next door to you. It's just not part of your system. How do you help? Because you do a lot of stuff around the alpha meditation state, right?
Alpha is kind of, it's sort of like saying I do a lot of stuff around the C note. I do a lot of stuff around advanced neuroscience and meditation, but it's more than just
better.
Yeah, it's more than just dropping into alpha. Alpha is a very broad, it's a very powerful and very broad brain state that anyone can drop into alpha right now. If you want to, all you do is you close your eyes and concentrate on your third eye on your forehead, and you'll immediately go into a high alpha state. So that's one, the first one we could measure. So what I do, I have a company called 40 Years of Zen that takes high end, like executives and celebrities and people like that, pro athletes. And then we upgrade their brains over 5 days. In the last two chapters of Smarter Not Harder, I talk about the number one technique that's used at 40 Years of Zen. So when you go there, we glue electrodes to your head and we show you what your brain's doing. Then we teach you how to run the reset process to let go of things that trigger you so that you can walk around untriggered. Basically, it's how to unload your gun, because if anything on earth triggers you, you are carrying a loaded gun, and maybe you shouldn't do that. In fact, it's not even legal in a lot of the world. So
outside of America.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in Texas. You can carry as many loaded guns as you want. You're just not allowed to use them. So.
Okay. So what do you do with that in terms of
here's what you do.
Women are brought up. Yeah. Hang on. The way women are brought up, you do not have high levels of safety in the way that we function. We just don't have them. So I look at my daughters, you look at your daughter, there isn't a place where it shocks me so much that we're in the place where our lives are supposed to be better than they ever were before. And speaking kind of from my Indian background a little bit here, is I look at this and I'm like, in the old days, you would have babies. Mm. Somebody would help you look after those babies. Nowadays, you have the babies and you have to pay the damn baby's bills. And this is your job. This is how you're growing up. And we're supposed to be having a better life. There is more a lack of safety in an average woman's life. And the more intelligent you are, the more unsafe you feel on a daily basis. How do you cope with that?
Mm. Well, it's funny. You said something in there that made me consider it. My daughter, she's 16. She has a profound sense of safety the vast majority of the time. You can create it for your children. And it takes a lot of work. Doesn't mean that she always feels it, but you don't want to feel safe all the time either, because sometimes an appropriate level of risk creates meaning in life.
Yeah.
That's why we go on roller coasters. Like, that's why we go skiing. That's why we do things that are fun, right? That's why you go on dates. I mean, going on a date can be risky for the man and the woman, but you do it because it's worth the risk. But if you feel like there's an inherent safety in you, because you were raised with safety starting in the womb, a baby can learn to feel safe or unsafe while being carried inside its mother. And the way you're born influences profoundly whether the world is a safe place or a dangerous place.
And also just being born to an immigrant can change that.
Oh, yeah.
Very deep level.
Oh, it absolutely can, because, you know, being displaced from your homeland, even if it's for a very good reason, you know, like, oh, there's a great opportunity. It's still, it's a deep thing. There's a huge complex and beautiful system underlying what you can see. You could call it your unconscious, but it's the body trying to make sense of how to carry you around in the world. And the body decides which parts of the world it's going to show you, because it's sensing more than you get to see in your conscious brain, because you can't have a life-size map of reality, because it wouldn't be very useful. It'd be as big as reality. So everything we're seeing is a representation of what's really there. So what happens is, over time, we accumulate traumas, and women get, on average, different traumas than men. There's a lot of unconscious programming, and it's not anyone's intentionally programming this, but it's around, it's not safe to ask for what you want. It's just not safe, right? Yeah. And that's not what you do.
Approval.
Yeah. So you might get kicked out of the tribe, right? So that stuff happens.
That would be the best thing that could happen. It's the stuff that would happen to you before you were kicked out. That would be pretty.
That's a fair point. I mean, there's always risk of physical violence, right? Mm-hmm. So you have this, and it's not just you. It's your mother, your grandmother. It goes back forever.
It's the lineage. It's the female lineage within.
Yeah, it is, right? So, and I'm just going to have to say this: mitochondria exclusively come from women. Did you know that? No. All of your mitochondria are your mom's, not your dad's. Okay. And the mitochondria are the ones doing this.
Oh, yay. That'll explain so much.
Isn't it?
Okay.
So when we, when you look at this, before you can think, your body has this sense of, if I ask for what I want or for what I need, I might die. So you start putting unconscious, invisible borders on your world. And it eventually comes to the point where it's almost impossible to think of what you need and what you want. And it's impossible to say it, even if you know. And what works really well for that is, when things work with the masculine and the feminine, it's the man's job to create a really safe container energetically where a woman can actually tap into that stuff, because her body feels safe. It's not that she thinks she's safe. We all know we're safe. It's not about knowing, it's about feeling. So you create the feeling, which then allows the asking. And now you're talking about advanced meditation states. You're talking about tantra or other conscious sexuality practices. But even without that, there are some guys, and all women listening to this, or maybe not all, most women listening to this, have at least one time encountered a guy, I don't know why I feel safe around the guy. It's because the guy.
Oh, you're that for me. You have.
Oh, thank you.
No, absolutely. I want to give you credit for that. I didn't understand that. And you did that for me. You put me in a place where I felt 100% safe. And it led to a completely different interaction. And it wasn't until that I was like, oh my God, like, so I don't normally feel safe. And it was very peculiar for me to think to kind of clock that.
So, but what can you do yourself, right? Because maybe you don't know a guy like that, right? And very likely you've had an employer, you've had a former boyfriend or something who's actually mean to you, right?
Yeah.
And at that point, they've now set an alert, like a notification on your phone, like, tell me every 5 minutes, or tell me every time something happens. So every time you see someone who reminds your nervous system of that person, you don't even know why, but it triggers you. So that one guy walks in the room and he's wearing a blue shirt. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, and you just feel like this anxiety or ick, or your heart races, or you just feel like you have to go, and you think you're crazy. No, you're not crazy. Your body's trying to keep you safe from what it thinks might kill you, because you felt unsafe the last time you saw that. And it's all automatic, and it's not going to tell you why it does it. It's just going to give you the feeling. And recognizing those feelings is really, really rough, because women have amazing and beautiful intuition. Mm-hmm. So intuition feels like this, and this other danger feels like this, and they're almost overlapping. And the reason all this works, I've done all this neuroscience, 6 months of measuring my brainwaves every day and meditating in order to get the nuances between intuition and being triggered. So for women, the last two chapters of Smarter, Not Harder, I talk about the reset process, which is, and I'm going to really summarize it here, but it's a technique that you use to go back to the first time you felt unsafe in a particular way, and then to edit the settings in your operating system so that you'll stop getting a notification for that, to tell your body that you actually were safe. even if in reality you weren't safe when it happened, you can still go back and tell your body, I don't need that alert all the time. Thank you. Even if, you know, there was emotional or physical abuse when you were younger, you can go back and make it so your nervous system doesn't always get triggered. And when you do that, suddenly now the body says, oh, I guess I'm not being hunted all the time. And then your body shifts and you feel like you can start to thrive. And if you nourish yourself properly, now you've got safety and nourishment. These are what women's bodies and spirits need. You need enough beautiful protein and fat and minerals and carbs and all the good stuff. And when I say that, you can feel your body relaxing. And then you need what it feels like when, if you had a good father, when your father hugs you. If you have those two things, you will blossom the way that the feminine is supposed to blossom. And there are ways to create those feelings in yourself, even if you don't have a partner. But that's how it works. And when we teach our women that your job is to work, your job is to harm yourself with hormonal birth control that is just bad for women, as opposed to other forms of birth control that work and are safe. You harm yourself there, you work all the time, and you give up the most precious parts of being a woman. I'm not on board with that. And I think there's actually a backlash that's coming right now. There are women who are saying, you know what? Someone told my mother or my grandmother that they could have their cake and eat it too, and that they could bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan, as the song in the 70s or 80s was. And maybe that was a lie. And maybe being a mother, if you choose to be a mother, is a sacred time. And if you work your ass off while you're being a mother, you won't be happy at either your job or with your kids. And that yeah. It's okay to do both, but you don't have to. And it's okay to say, I need help. And it's okay to say, I need a normal work week. I don't want to work 60 hours when I have a 1-year-old. That kind of stuff it's unkind.
It's mean. But there's a place I want to give for women that don't have a way out of this. You know, and yep. they're very constrained. And I've been a single parent my entire adult life. And yeah. the only way we ate was because I made that money.
You had to. So there's no judgment here. But if you'd have had a choice,
I wouldn't have.
You would have spent more time mothering than you did.
I would have been, and I would have been a nicer person if I wasn't as tired. Yeah. I wasn't as exhausted. And if you don't believe me, anytime my children will fulfill that and help you.
It's funny because
tell you about it.
It's funny because careers are really satisfying, and I don't want people to say, you know, Dave thinks someone should stay at home and have babies. I don't. I think you should do what makes you happy. And what I find is that most of my women friends and people who've been to 40 years of Zen who have kids, they want to spend enough quality time with their kids, and they want to have enough quality time in their career. And it's when those two bump up against each other and they don't have a choice, that's what creates that feeling of angst. And we all do our best. And the idea here is, if society is set up so that we just recognize, you know, when you have like especially a younger infant, it's just a sacred time. And there are some societies, particularly in Europe, where it's set up well. You go to India, okay, your grandparents help out and you have like a family system that helps. Versus if you come to the US, it's like, well, you better show up to work. You get 2 weeks off for your baby. Actually, it's usually 6 weeks. That's not cool.
You
got to fix that.
Maternity leave in the US, do you?
We don't have what?
Maternity leave.
Oh, paternity leave? I think most places
maternity.
Give you...
maternity leave.
It's usually 6 weeks.
That's horrendous.
It is horrendous. And for guys, most of the time you don't get any at all. Maybe you get 2 weeks.
Your body hasn't even healed. I mean, you're just at the stage where normal operations can kind of resume at 6 weeks.
Yeah. I'm not saying I know the answer to how to set up a society so that's fair, so it all works and all that stuff. Because you also don't want employers to discriminate against, you know, pregnant women. Like, I don't want to hire someone who might get pregnant because then they wouldn't be a good worker in the factory kind of mindset. That's not okay either. So we just got to build our society to be more supportive of the fact that women have special powers and that it's all of our jobs to support that.
Yeah. Well, and also I think that the kind of roundup of that is that if women were nourished, if women felt able to say the things, I'm always shocked when people will tell me, gosh, you're very blunt. And I'm like, well, I just say what I think because I want to say it. I hadn't understood that that had its own category of communications.
You are combative.
Not all the time.
Yes, you are. Not all the time. Oh, it's great. I love it. You're You're fearless, but you're still, you know, you're still sensitive about it. But really, you say what you think. And most women never develop that. I think maybe you did because you were put in that role of being a provider and a mom, and you just didn't have time for the bullshit. And you say you still carry that, like, no, I'll just say what it is. And what are you going to do? So you're very unique that way because you can communicate in a way a lot of women don't know how to go where you go when you. So you've got to keep doing that because I think you're inspiring a lot of people.
Thank you. I'm going to just blush quietly in the corner here, which you enjoy. So we're just going to do that. Okay. So what I wanted to say was that the more women that we can help to feel strong and nourished and that find their voices, I think that as a society, we'll be forced to pay more attention because we'll learn to ask for the things that we want.
And No. We have to stop there. Women can't force society to pay attention. If you want forcing, that's what you use men for. Like we make battering rams and tanks and stuff like that. Women coax and convince and welcome.
Feminine, but you are always more feminine and more lush when you feel safer. So I think you transition into that.
So safe people don't force, safe people invite. I'm just telling you, women, when they're
going from mother and mother with warrior in your hand to lush femininity is a transition.
Oh, it's hard to do because the mama bear energy, which is, you know, that I will protect my family and my children at all costs. That is like the fierce feminine. And we need that. But to make society a better place, we want women to know how to turn that on and to use it appropriately. But that is not the energy that will create societal change. The kind of energy that creates societal change is the lush feminine. It's the soft feminine. Lush. I love lush. Word. Yeah.
I like that word.
And one of the things that means, if you're listening to this and you do meditation and you're thinking about all this stuff, do you know how to go from fierce feminine to lush feminine? And if you don't, how would you learn that? I'm not going to be able to tell you to do that in 5 minutes. I'm not a woman, at least not in this life. So I have experience.
100% phone me and I'll help them with that.
All right, good deal. So that's your thing. Cause I do see that you can switch that, which is really cool. And so for a lot of women, it's fear of turning on the fierceness, right? And if you're afraid to be fierce, you're also afraid to be lush. If you're going to have one polarity, you have to have the other. And a lot of that comes from this, just being nourished and being able to rest and recover and be kind to yourself.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think, I am shocked at how hard lush was to arrive at, how hard one that is and how hard it is to teach and help women to step into that space. I think it's, and so I think if we lose as people that women aren't more lush. I'm just going to go with that word because it's my new favorite word. Thank you. Everybody should go buy your new book, Smarter, Not Harder. I would like a signed copy, please.
Okay, I'll give you one.
Yeah, exactly. It's been such a pleasure. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thanks, Gita. Likewise.
Thank you very much for joining me. That was the wonderful Dave Asprey. And we'll have all the details for his new book alongside the show. Thank you very much for joining me again. This is Activate Yourself. My name is Gita Sidhu Rob, and I'm looking forward to joining you again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Gita Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.